This is PhotoBiz X, episode number 203, and today I have returning guest Neil James, the pioneer of the photo film. And instead of looking at why he started creating photo films like we did in the Photography Experiment podcast, this episode we're going to concentrate on how and why you should be creating them in your business, how to increase your profits, what software to use, how to go about starting if you want to give photo films a try yourself. That interview's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images. I'm coming to you from Adelaide today. I'm just about to hop on a plane, in a couple of hours, hop on a plane back to Sydney. It's been almost 3 weeks of holiday, going from Bali, staying inside the airport in Sydney, and then hopping down to Adelaide for a week of riding with my mates while the tour down under is on. It's been just an amazing week, and I know I've pushed myself just a little bit too hard because I'm just starting to feel that sore throat coming on, and I know it's time to back off from riding anyway and get back into and concentrate on work again. Just before I tell you a little bit more about the Adelaide meetup with a couple of PhotoBiz X listeners, I did say in the intro that Neil James is returning to the podcast. Well, he is kind of, because he hasn't appeared on PhotoBiz X before, but I did interview him last week for the Photography Experiment podcast. Now, if you haven't heard that interview, I urge you to get back and have a listen before you hear today's interview, if you can. I mean, obviously, you can listen to them in any order you like, but I think if you hear the way Neil describes the photo film, why he started doing them, and the kind of effect they're having on his clients in the Photography Experiment podcast, it'll give you a good basis and background for this episode today if you're considering putting them into use in your business. And I think after you hear this interview, there's a very good chance that you will. In the last couple of episodes, I mentioned I was going to be in Adelaide and I was trying to organize a meetup, and that did happen. Unfortunately, a couple of Adelaide listeners weren't able to make it, but we had the best time. Yana, Deb, Israel, and myself, we caught up in a local cafe in the middle of Adelaide, and it was like greeting old friends as each of them turned up. It was just fantastic, and I've got to say, like, this was the first time I'd ever done a meetup of any kind, and I was a little bit nervous. I thought, you know, what are we going to talk about? Is it going to be tough to keep the conversation going? Is it going to be uncomfortable? You know what? It was the exact opposite. It was amazing. The time flew by so quickly. I think we were there for 3.5 or close to 4 hours, and there was not one break in the conversation. We all just had an absolute ball, and it was funny. Israel had to literally bolt with half a beer still in his bottle. He was late for an appointment. A little while later, Yana realized that she hadn't paid enough for her parking, and she had to run out the door. And it was just Deb and I still chatting away without hardly taking a breath. Her phone rings and she gets a call from her, from the school where her daughter is, and she's forgotten to pick up her daughter. It was funny. I could see there was a total panic on Deb's face and shock that she'd forgotten about her daughter. It was just amazing. I had the best time. I had the feeling that Yana, Deb, and Israel did too, and I'm looking forward to doing more of these in the future. I actually had the idea, and I don't know if this is crazy or way out there, and I haven't even discussed this with Linda yet, but I've got this crazy idea of, you know, traveling across the United States, interviewing photographers and staying with them as I go, and organizing these meetups as I travel across the country. So yeah, just a crazy idea. I don't know if it would work. I don't know how I'd structure it. It's something that I'm playing with. And the reason is, talking to Yana, Deb, and Israel, I realized that every single photographer, every person has something to offer. They have a story, they've had a lesson that they've learned. And, I was sitting there in that 3.5-4 hours chatting to these guys, learning as much from them as I'm sure they have from the PhotoBiz X podcast and the interviews that I've done over the last few years. You know, Yana, we were chatting about her chiropractic business and practice that she still has alongside her photography business, and the fact that she's lost, I think it was 30 kilos, which just blew me away. She brought out some photos of her when she was larger, and man, you would not recognize this woman. She is incredible. Anyway, she told me that she had this idea for showing photographers particular exercises that they can do to cope with using large DSLRs and crouching down and hopping up on things and moving around like we do on all of our shoots to get those better angles. She's got a series of exercises and movements that we can put into practice to help strengthen our core and our backs and look after ourselves. I mean, the last thing I want to be doing is hobbling around when I'm 60, when I should be enjoying life the most because I've got a bad back. So we had a bit of a chat, and Jana looks like she's going to be recording a series of videos. And I said, well, look, why don't we host them on PhotoBizX? And then I thought, you know, why not take this further? You know, let's open up the PhotoBizX blog to you as a listener. You know, if you want to use it as a blogging platform, I am open to your suggestions. So if you've got an idea that you think would be useful to the listeners of PhotoBizX, so primarily we're talking about wedding and portrait photographers. If you've got a business idea, something that can help them in their business, in their life, you know, if you've got something that when you get together with your photography friends that you share and teach or help them with, and you think that's going to be great content for other photographers, then let's talk. You know, let's put together a blog post on PhotoBizX. Obviously, I will link to you. You know, I can host the videos if it's a video, or you can host them on YouTube and I can use an embed link. So I'm sure this will help your SEO as well. But look, you know, I don't want you to come into this looking to increase your SEO as the sole focus. You know, you have to be coming up with some kind of content that's beneficial for other listeners. You know, if it's great content, if I think it's going to be beneficial and help the listener or the reader in this case, then let's do it. Let's talk and let's put something together. And I'd love to see the blog part of the website grow and become a great resource for all wedding and portrait photographers, for you, you know, as other listeners add content to the site. So if you've got an idea, get in touch with me. Pitch it to me, you know, or send me the blog post, send me your thoughts or something you want to do. It has to be unique to PhotoBizX. It's not something that I'd like to see, you know, copied and pasted from your own blog. It has to be unique and, like I said, helpful. And if you do want to do that, you can reach me via email. It's andrew@photobizx.com or on Facebook, Twitter, in the comments area. There's so many ways, but email's probably the easiest, andrew@photobizx.com. And the next time I'm traveling somewhere, anywhere, I'm going to let you know because, that meeting with Jana Deb in Israel was any indication of how these things go, then I can't wait to meet you and more people like you as I continue to do this. It was so much fun.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest is a former BBC Radio 1 broadcaster, and his background in sound combined with his documentary photography style has seen him become the pioneer of wedding photo films. Neil was also a guest on the Photography Experiment podcast, where we explored Neil's work and in particular photo films and how they've played a major role in his life and his business. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the term photo film, it's a combination of stills and sound recorded on the wedding day or at the portrait session. Think wedding or portrait cinematography meets stills photography, where you see the images captured by Neil with his voices and sounds of the real wedding day. Neil adds the narration and ties the wedding day story together, or the portrait session. In this interview, the plan is to explore the business side of photo films, how to make them, price them and market them, and understand how you might be able to use them in your business. Neil, welcome back to the podcast, kind of.
Pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be here.
I don't know if the listener heard that, but I was adding in portraits there because before I started recording this intro and we had a quick chat, I had no idea that you were using these for portrait sessions as well.
Well, I've used it a couple of times. And then last year I thought, why aren't I doing this for portraits? There's a million and one reasons why you should be using sound in portrait slideshows, a la photo film. So that's why I've decided to add it in and make them more of a legacy documentary, if you like. I've done one with a grandparent, which I'll play you a clip from later. Imagine the power, for example, of having the first book that you were ever read by your parents, having that book read to you when you're 40, 50, 60 years old. So I started doing those as well.
Wow. Okay. I've got 1,000 questions. I'm going to try and tackle these one by one. But first of all, how have the photo films affected your business?
Oh, completely. Yeah, without a doubt. I heard an expression at the turn of the year. It was Linda Decker and various others that said, different is better than better. And funnily enough, I heard it on one of your podcasts only about a month ago. And I can't remember who said it, but he was absolutely right. There are many photographers in my area, in the Thames Valley area just west of London, that are superb photographers. In fact, across the UK, there's superb photographers charging the same, less, more, whatever. But to go into battle with them becomes a price war, and particularly at the moment, things are changing economically in the world. We have a different president shifting into the White House soon. We have this Brexit thing holding over us. And so I don't know whether it's panicked the market to the extent that some people thought it would do, but clearly there's going to be a difference. And so having a USP, having something that makes you different, is going to be the turning point. And I introduced photo films right in the middle of that period. We had the huge recession. And I stayed stable with all my bookings. And of course, it made a difference.
Fantastic. So does every one of your clients get a photo film?
No.
Okay, so who does and how does it affect the pricing?
It's an additional extra. And they purchase it in much the same way they would an album. And so that's the way that works. The interesting thing is, and when you start drilling down with the marketing figures, because this is a marketing interview, so I looked at some stats and I worked out some percentages over the last couple of days, which I was due to do for something I'm presenting here anyway. But when you look at it, it's interesting. Just under half of all my wedding clients in a year, and I'm reasonably prolific, I shoot up to 80 weddings a year. Just under half my wedding clients have a photo film. So that leaves just over half of those not having a photo film. But when you look at the figures of the photo films themselves, and I ask all my clients, where did you see me? Where did you hear about me? And why have you booked? Those questions, I would imagine, for all of us are really pertinent questions, aren't they? So when I ask that question, back comes the answer, even from those that don't hire me to do a photo film. Well, I kind of feel I've lived in a wedding because I've heard one, I've seen one, I've heard people talking, exchanging vows, doing speeches. So they're a really powerful part of my marketing. So it's not just a case of selling them like a wedding album, it's a case of using them for marketing too.
Okay, so even if someone doesn't book and pay for one, they still know you as the photo film guy.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's interesting. There's a big conference every year here organized called the Society's Conference. You may be aware of it, by the Society of Wedding and Portrait Photographers in the UK. Last year, I generally speak at them. I'm not speaking at next year's, but last 3 or 4 years I've spoken at them. And I came to the bar one night and a guy at the end of the bar sort of shouted down. He said, "Oi, you're that sound man." And I thought, well, that was interesting. I'm not known for my photographs, but you're known as the sound guy. So, that's made a real difference.
That's so good. For me, as a wedding photographer who offers albums with every single package, and the reason I do that is that I have got the opportunity to do an upsell later on. I'm guessing you can't really do that. The client either has to commit to a photo film or they don't. You can't just record on spec.
You're right to an extent. Yeah, I'm not cynical in that I would record the audio and then saying, well, I've got your audio, we could do this. I don't know whether that would be appropriate. But there have been weddings, a handful over the last year, where we've been going through the wedding and something has sparked me and I thought, this is going to make such a great photo film. There's an additional story to this that I've just got to capture. I always take my recorders with me and then I'll leap into action. I'll go to the bride and groom, usually before the wedding breakfast, and I say, look, I know you haven't hired me for a photo film, but could I record your sound? Because there's just a chance I think we've got something coming up which you'll regret if you don't hear it.
And they say yes, obviously.
Always.
Yeah. Okay. What does it cost? How much do you charge for a wedding photo film and how much are you looking at charging if you haven't already for a portrait photo film?
So weddings, first of all, now I charge £600, £595, £600. There are those that say that's far too cheap, and perhaps it is, but it's been a solid part of my income now, and I've not tinkered with it too much, and it's certainly pushed up the average spends that I've enjoyed over the last few years. It's not the same for portraits, because you've got to add on the fact that you're going to do a session. You can't do the whole thing for £595. Currently, it's between, because I'm doing a day in the life version of it, it's between £600 and £900. It's not quite reached the £1,000 mark.
Okay, all right. They're pretty good additions. They're nice to add on, for sure.
Yeah, oh yes, definitely. They're roughly the same as I charge for a mid to high mid album.
Okay, great. All right, so it's a good addition. And you've still got the photography package or collection before that. So this is an add-on.
Yeah, that's not changed. In terms of pricing, I've stayed stable now all the way through the recession years, and I've kept the same pricing. I have looked at it in the last 12 months. I thought it's time for us to perhaps take a bit of a rise now. And then, of course, Brexit and Trumpet happened. And so I'm thinking this perhaps isn't the right time to tinker too much.
Yeah, sure. My initial thought when you give me those prices is, how much extra work is this for you now, and how much extra work would it be for someone starting out to do this?
So when I started, it took a reasonable amount of time to get the sort of format of editing the sound together and how I was then going to mix it into a film. That was a complete new learning process. I didn't know how to, I knew how to edit photographs using Photoshop and Lightroom. I knew how to edit sound because that was my background. I didn't know how to then mix the two into a film. And these are, it might be still photographs. I mean, these are still photographs, but you're still producing a film. And that was the learning curve, and that took quite a while. Now, if I edit the sound, it's kind of real time for the sound, because if the speeches take an hour and a half, your editing process is going to be at least an hour and a half, isn't it? Because you've got to listen to the speeches back and cut out the bits that you want. I've got reasonably brisk at doing that. And actually now, brisker still, because you don't need to include all the million and one thank yous. Nobody wants to hear that in a film. That's between the bridesmaids and the ushers and the parents and the groom and bride. Nobody needs to hear that in the films. If I hear a long section of that coming on, I can pretty much lose 10 minutes straight away of listening time. And if you do it fairly soon after the wedding, you've got a pretty good memory on what was said and when it sounded good. And I make mental notes. That's really sharpened up. Now, as soon as I've got the actual edit done, I've sorted out 20-second, 30-second snippets of each speech, then I can put a photo film together now in about 3 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was expecting 8 to 10 hours minimum.
No. And it was to start with, so I don't want to sound flippant. It does take a long time to start with. Some of the longer ones where I've done voiceover intros, and I'm sure we'll get to that. Now, they do take longer because I've got to write a script for myself. I've got to think, right, how are we going to start this? And that does take a little bit longer. I introduced voiceover intros because I thought, well, there were other people around me that thought, oh, I quite like this idea. And I spotted people. And I've spoken about photo films. I'm talking about it now. So if I was afraid of other people copying me, I wouldn't be talking to you now. And I certainly wouldn't be talking at workshops at the SWPP and doing my own. And I've got one coming up there with Kevin Mullins, who you've spoken to. And those sort of things, I wouldn't be speaking to people about that if I was worried about people copying. But I thought, how am I going to introduce another USP? Because for about 2 or 3 years, nobody else was doing photo films. Now there are a few more people doing them. In my opinion, whether they're doing them well or not is not relevant, because if their clients like them, that's well enough, isn't it? But I thought, how can I make myself different? So I introduced this concept of a narrated start, almost like a television narrated start to a program. Is it worth playing you one of those?
I was going to ask you, do you have an example? This might be a good way to describe it.
I have. I did a destination one in Boston, and I thought this is a really interesting story because these two people don't live in America now. They are American, but they live across Europe, and they brought all these people together for this big day, but it was a bit of a kind of real international flavor to it. If you watch the photo film itself is on my website, and it's one of the main ones featured on the photo film tab. So if you go to neiljames.com, then there's a photo films tab next to wedding galleries, and you'll see the Amy and Stephen story. But this is the intro, and I thought, okay, I want to introduce this story in a way that all the audience will understand the distances that people have travelled for this particular wedding. You'll hear some noises of an aeroplane accelerating. In the film itself, it's three pictures, it's cut pictures of the front nose wheel of an aeroplane sort of gradually gaining speed to take off. So if you watch it, it'll make more sense. It's about 30 seconds or so, but you'll get an idea for sure at the start of this photo film. So I'll play it to you now.
He was raised in Boston, Massachusetts. She grew up in Springfield, Illinois. They met in Berlin. They moved to London. The next part starts in New Hampshire.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to this celebration of life and love.
A man was having marital problems, so he went to his shrink. And the shrink says, when you get home, throw down your briefcase, run to her, embrace her, take her clothes off and yours, and make mad, passionate love to her.
So... the last bit there, I'd gathered from a radio show on the first morning of my visit there. I just thought there were two hosts talking. It was their daily joke that they did on this breakfast show. And I thought that was quite funny because there was a real sort of brick wall between marital problems and this bit of a wedding day. But it was quite funny. If you want to hear the joke, you have to watch the photo film.
Look, you know what? As soon as you came back in over the top, I felt like telling you to go away and let us keep listening because I was 100% in.
Well, and that shows the power of thinking. It's a bit like when you photograph, you think of detail, don't you? And you think of landscape and you think of portraits. And it's the same when you're collecting sound. Whenever I go anywhere, I think, okay, there might be something that I can collect here sound-wise. On that particular occasion, I thought, well, the radio, later on in the photo film, you'll hear the hosts of that radio show talking about the weather for the day. And that was important. Sometimes, often, I'll put down a microphone in the morning when I'm a very subtle, sort of discreet microphone. I'll pop down during the bridal preparations while she's having her hair done or something. And I'll say, Amy, how did you meet Stephen? And they're not really expecting to be interviewed and they don't think of it like that. A lot of my brides know that I do that kind of thing, but they still don't think of it. And they'll say, oh, well, yeah, well, we met when we went to a nightclub and da-da-da-da-da. And so therefore you've got another layer of the story. So this doesn't have to be just the speeches, just the vows. It can be narration. It can be gathering sound from the day like the radio. It can be the sound of a stream. It can be all sorts of things. And it's detail in much the same fashion as when you take photographs.
Yeah, that was an impressive clip. That sounds to me like a lot of hard work. It sounds super professional, super polished. Is that something you can still do in 3 to 4 hours?
That one took a bit longer. Not much longer. I did that in about 5 hours or so, did it in the afternoon. I remember this. It's funny how you remember photo films, editing them. I started midday just after lunch and I finished when the children got back from swimming. And yeah, that was about 5 hours. Yeah.
Wow. I want to get into the nitty gritty of the how to and what to use and how to do all this sort of stuff. But when I hear you narrate, and I know the listener is going to be feeling exactly the same way, I'm thinking, Neil, there's no one else that has a voice like you that can do that kind of narration. Like, is it still going to work with my voice or the listener's voice?
Do you know, I think it does. I think it does. Yeah, I've got a real advantage to having worked in the radio industry. I've nearly worked for as many years as a photographer as I did in radio. Clearly, there's a great, of course there is, Andrew, isn't there? There's a great advantage to having that ground. There's no doubt about that. And I'm still a practicing voiceover, so I still do work occasionally. And, you know, I'm just about to start doing what's called Voice of God.
How appropriate.
Which is where you turn up to conferences and you are the voice that introduces winners of competitions and things like that. A friend of mine does a lot of that. And he said, look, I don't want to do it anymore. Would you like to do these bookings? And I said, well, what kind of bookings are they? He said, well, I did one last week for the National Curry Awards. The food was great. I said, I'm there. So I have an advantage. But sometimes, you know, you can use other people's voices. Do you know what? There are thousands of voiceover artists across the world just, you know, crying out for work. So you could employ somebody and they're not that expensive. If you think narration is an important part of it, you might not want to start with narration because I think that takes it to the next level and it's worth getting the first level correct. I mean, I've got another very short clip. It's only 15 seconds, but this particular one, this was a bride. So I know everybody's so in love with their groom or, you know, their partner, but the way she spoke about her fella in the morning during the bridal preparations, I thought, well, later on during the wedding breakfast, I said, would you mind, can I borrow you for 5 minutes? I'd just like to film you and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. And she said, what are you going to ask me? I said, let me not tell you that because you're going to try and think of answers before we do it. So she said, all right. During the wedding breakfast, I stole her away, went to a quiet room and I recorded this with her.
He is so, 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 so kind, generous. He is able to see the positive side of everything that to me is an art.
And that's how the film starts. And it's very simple, isn't it? So it doesn't have to be your voice. It can be somebody else's voice. And in this case, it's the bride. I've had fathers doing that as well and mums doing that. Best man who was just fantastic. You know, he's one of those best men that didn't think, well, let me do a stitch up. He just did a lovely narrated piece about what he felt about his friend. That wasn't his speech. That was the narrated start to a film.
So you took it from his speech or you asked him some questions to get a narration?
No, I asked a lovely speech, but then I thought, okay, I just need to stitch this together a little bit more cleanly. So I took him aside after his speech while everybody was having coffee and, you know, it goes quiet, doesn't it, for about an hour. I don't know about Australian weddings, but certainly in Britain, there's often about an hour and a half in the evening where things quiet down a bit, people have coffee, and evening guests arrive. And so I took him to a quiet room and we recorded what became the narration for the film.
Okay. So did you have a script or you just asked him leading questions to give you?
In much the same way as you're doing now, it's all leading questions.
Okay, very cool. I've got to ask, what's a wedding breakfast?
Oh, it's the meal, the banquet. Americans call it banquet, don't they? Don't know what you call it in Australia.
Is it at breakfast time? Is it in the morning?
No, but it's called wedding breakfast because it's the first meal of your married life, like a breakfast.
Okay, we don't have anything like that at all in Australia, not that I know of.
Okay, well, that's just a phrase. In fact, yeah, it's a quaint British phrase for the first meal of your married life. It's a breakfast. It's, you know, that first meal of the day, if you like, although you're having this at 4 p.m. or something.
Okay, got it. You've explained to me, and I understand, I'm sure the listener does, we can go as technical and as full-on and as layered as we'd like with this, but if we're talking on a basic level, you're talking to someone starting out that wants to try this for the very first time, what do we need and how do we do it?
Okay, so let's deal with sound first. Let's deal with the collection methods. Well, your collection method for the photographs is clearly your camera, isn't it? So that's done, dusted. So that bit's organized. Let's go really simple. I've actually simplified my workflow and I've come away from using all these systems where you could actually monitor the sound in your headphones, etc. I'm pretty good at being able to do two things at once during the speeches, but I found that I was taking my eye off the ball just a little bit. So I thought, right, I've got to simplify this. So I use small recorders with what's called lapel microphones. Those kind of microphones that newsreaders wear that just clip onto the tie. And the microphone, the actual recording unit I use is by Zoom. It's an H1. I'm sure there's many people that have seen one of those. They've either seen a videographer use it or maybe they've got one themselves for dictating into or whatever. And that's what I use. Plugged into that, it's an Australian company, actually, a Rode lavalier microphone, lapel microphone. It's the more expensive one. It's not the one that you plug into your iPhone. They don't work. Not for this anyway. It's the £140 microphone. Might be a bit cheaper in Australia since the company's out there. I don't know.
Why does the one that plugs into an iPhone, why doesn't that work?
Yeah, that one is clever because it's talking through the earpiece plug. So it's got to reverse the whole process of how to record. So when you plug that into a normal record, it just doesn't work. So yeah, buy a normal lapel microphone. Sennheiser make them, Rode make them. Lots of companies make them. You don't have to spend £140, whatever that is in dollars. But it's just that I like sound to be rich. And I've found that the Rode microphones really are the best quality for it. So that's what I've got. So I've got a Rode lapel microphone sticking into this H1. I choose, in much the same way that you have JPEG and RAW, there are different levels of compression and not compression and good quality. And sound has the same sort of thing. You can record MP3 or you can record what's called a WAV file, WAV. The WAV file is the better quality one. So you find that in the settings and that's what you use. I set it all up on automatic level control, the little button on the back called auto. So that's not tricky. Press the record, away you go. Job done. And that really is as complicated. Yes, it's probably worth reading the manual, but that really is about as complicated as I want it to be. Now, I've got five of those in my camera bag. If I ever do a shot kit, as much sound kit as there is photographic kit, actually. And our videographers often look at my bag. They say, what on earth have you got all those sound recording units for? So I have five and they've got lapels in them. And so I've got one for dad, one for the groom, one for the best man, anybody else that wants to talk. If more people talk, then I have to rotate them a little bit between speeches, but that's not tricky. And then I have another H1, a couple of H1s that don't have microphones plugged into them, that just have a little small little tripod on them, those little Jobo tripods, and I pop them on the tables in front of the speakers, just behind some flowers or something so you can't see them in the photograph, and they are my backups. So if the lapel microphone for some reason doesn't work or he's stuck the unit next to his mobile phone, anything like that, then these table ones will pick up the voice. And that's it. That's how I record my voice.
Okay. These Zoom H1s, do they take an SD card? And if so, what size are you having or are you using inside them?
Micro SD cards. So just get yourself a nice big, I think I've got 16 gigs in them. Micro SD.
Okay, in each one.
Yeah, in each one. They're cheap as chips, aren't they, micro SD cards? But I don't take those micro SDs in and out because they're the first things to break, aren't they, micro SD cards, if you play around with them too much. I just put a USB in the bottom and then that plugs straight into my Mac and I whip across the sound in much the same way that you'd whip across your pictures. Then I do what's called top and tailing. So at the start of the speech and at the end of the speech, anything that's either side of that, I just delete, because often there's stuff that you hear that probably the client wouldn't want to hear again. And I have heard, in all seriousness, stuff that you think, ooh, blimey. Okay, so that makes the cut floor straight away without question.
Right. This is after the wedding. Now you're back in the studio and you've uploaded all your WAV files and you're top and tailing. So what software are you using or do you recommend to get started with?
Okay, there's lots of free software you can use, but I use the Adobe Suite. So everything I need to make a photo film comes with the Adobe Suite. And the great thing about using the Creative Suite is that it's all intuitive. Each program talks to each other. So I use Premiere to make my films. So you come up with a timeline. Now, this is where, you know, YouTube has, you know, created a fantastic platform to learn what you need to learn within a couple of days. If anybody sat down with YouTube videos and looked at the basics of how to edit in Adobe Premiere, I promise you, you would know within two. I did, and I am not that technical. I learned Premiere in a couple of days. And, of course, I know a few more things about it now, a few shortcuts. You're bound to, aren't you? Same way as Photoshop and Lightroom. You learn stuff as you go along. But I knew what I needed to do within a couple of days. And to be honest, when I've taught this sort of stuff on one-to-one, I'm hoping that somebody can go away within a day and know basics of what they need to. It is not that complex, Premiere, in the basic form. So Premiere will talk to Photoshop beautifully, because if you open up your pictures within the film timeline, if you right click on it because you want to change that one into black and white, or you think, oh, I just need a bit more brightness there, right click, open in Photoshop, job done, save, and it saves it back into the Premiere again.
Okay, so you've got your photos and your sound file all inside Premiere. So when you export, you're exporting from there as a movie.
Absolutely, yeah. If you look at Premiere, Premiere basically breaks itself into a timeline, a nice big screen so you can see the edit, and the media, if you like. So the media is everything, isn't it? That's the sound, that's the photographs, and that can be any bits of movie, perhaps, that you record as well. That all sits into the media part of it. And then you drag and drop onto your timeline. The timeline's the bit that sits at the bottom, which is the organization of all your media. So that could be, you know, you have photograph number one, and then you drag across number two, then you drag across number three, four, and then gradually you've dragged across, I don't know, 100 pictures or whatever, and they are your pictures for that film sitting in the timeline. If you look at one of my photo films, you'll often see that with a change of the beat of the music, with every beat, the picture will change. If I can use a word that's probably inappropriate, that's the laborious part of the process, is organizing everything to transition. With your senses, you don't want to be surprised too much. If a picture changes offbeat, and sometimes you can do it, but if a picture changes too much offbeat, or you get these awkward changes of pictures where you wouldn't expect them, that's a horrible view. So you've got to think that's probably one of the learning curves.
Okay, so do you put your photos in order and create that timeline first, or do you do the audio first? Like, which one fits to what?
It's a bit chicken and egg, this one. Because, yeah, when I started out, I definitely put all the photographs on there first and edited my sound to the pictures. And that was probably what took the longest. Now I think, okay, I will put down the sound first and then I'll match the pictures to the sound. And that bit has really sped up the process no end.
Right. So why has that made it so much quicker and easier?
It's just far easier to match pictures to the amount of sound you have than the other way around, because if you're trying to match the sound to the pictures, you have to start editing the sound because you haven't got enough pictures or you've got too many pictures. You know, it's better to do it the other way around. I hope that makes sense. It's difficult to... If you watch me working, then you think, oh, right. Oh, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I get that.
Just quickly then, do you have videos? Can we see you doing this stuff? Do you teach this stuff online or...?
I haven't yet, no. I've not thought about doing that. There's an idea.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be great to see.
Yeah, no, I haven't done one yet, no.
Okay. When you get back from the wedding, you've got these 5 or 7 different audio recording files.
Yeah.
Do you go and edit each of those files individually first, or you just start putting things together in a timeline?
No, first thing I do is that when I get back from a wedding, I download the sound, top and tail it. Doesn't take long at all. It really doesn't. And then I put that in a folder, audio files. And then I download my pictures in much the same way we all do. I've got my pics. They're all ready to be edited. And then when the pictures have been processed, then I will go to the sound. For example, later on today, I'm going to do a photo film. I'll go to the sound. I'll listen through the speeches. And I'll just cut out the 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 40 seconds where I want them. Then they'll be ready to pop onto that timeline, match them together. and away we go. I hear a lot of people talk about slideshows and they put them together in Animoto and stuff like that. In essence, this is what you're doing. But the real difference is you're just being a bit more smart with it, in that you're making a timeline, you're making a proper film which features sound. You're doing what a videographer does day in, day out. The only difference is none of your pictures move. They're still photographs. That's the only difference. You've essentially become a videographer, but with still images.
Okay, all right. So let's say you've got this timeline all sorted out. You've got all these different layers and different channels and everything, and you want to output. What's the best way to output this file for use online and also for your client to see?
Well, the great thing about Adobe Premiere is that when you go to the export section, it gives you a long list of all the different ways that you could output stuff. Stuff that would look better for YouTube, a setting that would look better for Vimeo, all those kind of things. And you have them at your fingertips. Really easy. Just choose the one you want, press export, go make a cup of tea. It's done within 5 minutes. And you can pop it on a USB or send it to them via something like WeTransfer, which I do sometimes. And that's it. It's done. The export process is really easy.
You tell me and the listener, there's this big long list and it's really, really easy. It's everything's there. I see a big long list and get totally confused. Like, what do I choose? What dimensions, what format, what bit rate, all this sort of, I don't know any of that stuff.
Well, to be honest, Vimeo, if you export the whole thing as a Vimeo HD film, and that's on the dropdown, isn't it? You look at the dropdown, everything else will then align itself to that setting that you've chosen, export, and the film is good to see. Most people with an MP4, that's how it will turn it out, a Vimeo. If you choose Vimeo 1080, it's going to come out as an HD film, and that's fine. Most clients, because they're playing these, I always tell my clients, this is for your computer, it's for your smartphone, it's for your iPad, it's for your tablet. It's still pictures, unless mastered in a pretty tricky way, don't ever look good on a TV screen. They just don't. You're mastering in an entirely different fashion if you do that. I make my photo films for them to be looking at on their computers, their tablets, etc. And the Vimeo setting at the highest quality is more than enough. And so that's how I send those out. It'll change, of course, when we start thinking 4K all the time. But then there's a setting for that as well. But at the moment, I'm not working in 4K.
Okay, that makes sense. So I'm glad you mentioned TV, because that was my first thought, is the bride's going to want to take it home and show her grandmother or her mother, and they're going to want to do it on the TV. But you've really got to encourage them to take a laptop with them.
Yeah, when you just put your SD into the back of a TV, it deals in a slightly different way. When you're mastering a film and you're outputting or exporting your film from Premiere, it never looks as sharp, never looks as good. These are designed for computer use. This is your traveling companion if you go away. I've got, for example, a groom that says he's frightened of flying. So he says, I always look at my photo film when the captain says we're coming in for landing, because roughly the time with him saying, you know, get ready for landing, and landing is about 7-8 minutes, the length of my photo film. It's now his travel placator. But that's perfect. Look at these things on a large smartphone screen. Spot on. Why would you use this 7-8 minutes? You want to show people. They've never been designed amply to sit round on Christmas morning and watch on a great big screen. It's never been designed. This is your personal album to have on you at all times.
All right. Okay. That's cool.
Digital album, you know, by way of a film.
Sure. Are you worried about clients copying these things, or it doesn't matter? Once they've paid for it and they've got it, they can do what they want with it.
Once they've paid it, fine. That's fine. They wouldn't be able to pull these things apart, because once you've exported it, it's a bit like exporting a flattened Photoshop file. They can't do anything with it. I mean, sure, if they had a program, they could go in and wreck the color, I suppose, but I don't think people would want to do that.
Okay. What about music? What are you using? How are you getting it? Is it expensive?
Yeah, now this is the final part of, and probably really important part of the jigsaw, is music. Laws, of course, country by country, change immensely, immeasurably. And in the UK, we have fairly strict rules on usage for music for commercial purposes. And you might say, well, this is a wedding film. It's not really commercial. But the moment you put it on Vimeo, the moment you put it on YouTube, Facebook, share it, whatever, it become commercial because it's representative of your brand. So I use royalty-free music, and I use triplescoop.com. I use the MusicBed. Oh, they're fantastic. MusicBed.com in America, just incredible music. There's lots of different music sources. They're the two main ones that I use. You can't use Robbie Williams. You can't use the Beatles. You can't use Michael Jackson. As much as videographers say, yeah, but I've got a special license that does this. No, it's not. The moment it becomes commercial and it's no longer personal, and trust me, I've worked in radio many years, and for a couple of years when I worked in management within the copywriting part of it, there are strict rules. And as wedding photographers and wedding videographers, I think we like to think that we've got the answer to this, but you just haven't. If Coldplay hear their music being used on YouTube, on a film, on somebody's wedding, they may have something to say about it. And it doesn't matter that you will say, well, I've got this special license. No, you haven't got a license to use my Coldplay song that has made me famous around the world for Jim and Mary's wedding. No, you haven't. And so that's why royalty-free, and you can probably hear my passion about it, I don't want anybody to get in trouble. Because, you know, there's one thing thinking you're being smart about copyright, and there's another thing receiving a 4-5-figure sum fine, as has been sent out to some photographers and videographers just to try and occasionally throw a shot across the bows. That's another thing altogether, and I wouldn't want to be in that battle, personally. Would you?
No chance.
I'd say, right, it's $49 to be safe with this piece of music, or shall I take the risk, download it from iTunes and say I've got a special license? No, I would go the royalty-free. And for those that say $49, that's an immense amount of money for, you know, a five-minute song. Not really, because if you think of this as an album, your albums cost you more than $49. You've got to think of this as a cost within the production.
Mm-hmm. So once you've paid for some royalty or a piece of royalty-free music, can you use that same piece over and over again, or do you only have a license to use it for one wedding?
So all companies are different. MusicBed, no. It's just for that one wedding. You have to relicense it if you want to use it again. I generally don't use music too often on films because I don't want brides and grooms thinking that it's in some way formatted. Oh, you just drag that out and you use that again. So I tend to have a maximum sort of three, four film use. And Triple Scoop, though, they have a different policy. It's slightly more expensive to buy that track. It's $60, I think, now. But you have lifetime release on that particular song to use on other wedding films. So you can use it again.
That's more economical. Okay.
Yeah.
Just before we get on to some more business-related questions, when this goes live, am I going to have, or are you going to have, questions from PhotoBizX listeners saying, Neil, I can't afford Premiere. It's way too difficult. You know, is there something else I can use that's a lot cheaper, that's way out of my range?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest and say, not really. No, you could buy Final Cut 10, but that's more expensive as the initial outlay. But of course, then you bought it. And that's a cracking bit of software for Mac users. Brilliant. I know a lot of people that just use that. They've made their one-off purchase, job done. And then you can find, there's lots of free software for sound editing all over Google. Just search it and you will find. So sound software, not an issue. Finding the film editing software, that's a bit more tricky. I don't know. I tend to think of it as the petrol in my car. It's the gas in my car. You know, I can't afford to go to a wedding unless I put petrol in it. I think of my monthly outgoing to Adobe in much the same sense.
Okay. So invest in yourself and your business and get Premiere.
Yeah, I think so. We invest in ourselves by buying cameras, lenses, paper for the office, printer, ribbons, you know, whatever. This, for me, is an investment in your business. And I think month by month, for what you receive, I mean, you're going to pay for this straight away, aren't you, really, within a film or two each year, you're going to pay for this. Easily, over and over and over. So I wasn't a great fan when Adobe changed the rules and principles of how they license. No, I wasn't. I know a lot of other photographers don't like it as well. They see it almost like a tax. But I have, my way of thinking has come around completely now that I use a lot of the suite. Yeah, it's changed.
Okay, fair enough. And for the listener that wants to try this for the very first time, what's the minimum number of Zoom H1s you'd recommend going out there with?
Oh, the first wedding I did, I had just one recording unit. I had one lapel unit and one that I put on the table. So between each speech, I started off, one person had the lapel, next person had to use the table mic that I had set up. Then during that speech, I moved that lapel to the other speaker. Yeah, that's what I did for the first one. Yeah, I had minimal equipment. I could do that if I needed to. I could work that way. Buying sound equipment is way, way, way more economical than buying anything to do with photography. That's the one. That's the one. Is sound doesn't cost anything compared to a lens, to a filter, to the list, as you well know, just goes on and on. A camera bag is more expensive than kitting yourself out with a sound kit you need. Camera bags I like anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. Mate, are you ready to tackle these 10 quick questions?
Yep, go for it.
10 quick questions, 10 quick answers. 3, 2, 1, go.
We've talked a lot about sound. What camera system are you using?
I use two at the moment. I use Canon and Fuji. Canon because I still haven't quite got to grips with the low light performance of the Fujis. So Canon really for all of my wedding work, Fujis for when I do my travel work, like my diary pieces.
Okay. Oh, we didn't really talk about them because you've got examples of these on your website where you've done like little mini projects, haven't you?
Yeah. Is it worth playing one in now while we're on that question?
Yeah, for sure. And this will be a great way to learn how to do this stuff before going to a wedding.
Yeah, absolutely. I went with a family holiday to America and my wife at one stage just said, just go take some pictures, sent me off for the day. And I went off and I decided to photograph people around Daytona. And I took my little camera. I made a narration to go at the front of the piece, and this is that piece. My good friend Kevin is a Fuji camera user. It's a smaller, mirrorless, less conspicuous type of camera, other flavors and brands available, of course. And for a few years now, I've watched him with a certain amount of envy downsize in terms of the physical dimensions of his kit. So on a recent holiday to the Sunshine State, I heeded the advice he'd unwittingly proffered over the past 4 years and packed light when it came to cameras. I took this little beauty, one camera, two lenses, and a couple of spare batteries. And one morning, I wandered out.
That's how I started. Then when I say one morning, I start introducing the pictures that I took. These weren't amazing portraits. They were just head and shoulders, really. But I made up a film of these people, and I told a little story about each person. I told a picture about the person who had travelled there, who'd had a car accident that couldn't afford to move away and was now an alcoholic, and it wasn't the way he wanted to live, but that was life. And there was a picture of the person that sells shotguns at a local flea market that hates guns, but that's his life. And so on and so forth.
You don't undersell the photography because this whole photo film was amazing. This gripped me from start to finish. I love this one. So I'll link to this in the show notes. The intro that you just played us then, do you script that word for word or do you just say that off the cuff?
I wrote it on the way home in the aeroplane.
Okay, so you do write it word for word and then read it back.
Yeah, I'm not very good at ad-libbing. I have to write it all down. I might play around with the script as I go along. I mean, the great thing about recording anything is you can stop and start, can't you?
Well, don't tell listeners that I do that.
I'm sure you never do that, but you can do that if you need to.
Definitely. Okay, cool. Favorite lens and why?
Can I have two?
Yeah.
85 and 35. I mess about so much with different focal lengths. And every time we get a package from Warehouse Exchange here, WEX, this, you know, one of our camera distributors here, my wife, her eyes will go up to the ceiling. What have you got now that you're not going to use? And so 35 and 85 and the cheapy ones of that as well. I have had the really expensive, I still have the 1.2 85 millimeter that just takes so long to focus. You can bring up a family and send it to university in the time that that takes to focus. So I use the 1.8 85 on the Canon and the 35. Pretty much the same with the Fujis, actually. The 56, which becomes an 85, doesn't it? And the 23 that becomes a 35 in old money, if you like. So, yeah, they're my favourite.
Are you slinging two bodies with two lenses around on a day or are you swapping lenses?
Yep. One on my – I've got that little holster system, which I like, and one around my neck.
Okay, cool. Have you got a favourite piece of software that you use in your business? I got an idea what this might be.
Probably Premiere, I would have thought, although I need three bits to do it. But you can actually edit sound in Premiere, so I'd choose Premiere, definitely.
Okay, so what were you going to say? Do you use something else to edit the sound, do you?
Well, I use Audition. Sorry, I didn't mention that, but I use Adobe Audition, which is really simple to use. Again, this is a YouTube journey. You know, if you had a week and you wanted to learn how to do photo films, 2 days for Premiere, 1 day for Audition, you already know how to do Photoshop. By the fourth and fifth day, you're producing your first film. Guarantee it.
Yeah. You've got to make this a course. Make it even easier for us.
Some videos, haven't I? But listen, there were so many videos online. Maybe you don't need my video. You can go watch the other videos.
Well, maybe your course can just link all the right ones together to go and watch.
That's true. Yeah. I have to have a chat with Adobe. Maybe I get software free.
What's the best thing you've ever done for your business?
Buy a sat nav. Yeah, sat nav has made so much difference.
Best answer ever.
Yeah, we have country roads here. My experience of going to places like America and Africa, and I'm coming to Australia next year, so I'm not sure what that's like, is just generally most countries seem to be drive 3 hours, turn left. In the UK, it's go up this little street there, go behind that pub and just turn right and then go up this really narrow track where a tractor's going to come the other way, then maybe do 2 miles of motorway, get off that, go left, go right. I would have several dents in my car if I were using maps today. So sat-nav, definitely the best camera invention for wedding photographers ever, if that sounds weird.
Have you ever had yours take you to the wrong address?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's frightening.
Yeah, we have country houses here that have 3 or 4 different entries, and they do have a habit of taking you to the one that's 5 miles round the lake that is no longer an entrance to the estate. So I keep 2 now. I have TomTom on my smartphone, and I have the system that Audi have as well in my car, and between the 2 of them, we work it out together. They work it out for me.
Nice. Well, how can you listen to a podcast at the same time while you're going to these weddings?
Well, I do.
You've got 3 conversations at once.
That's my podcast. That's Andrew Helmich time.
Let's say you were to move to Australia tomorrow and get to start over, but you have the knowledge that you have today. What would you do to get the business rolling along quickly?
Well, straight away, it's a sound thing, this. I've got to do something that has difference, haven't I? If I come to Australia, the awkward thing, of course, is I fit into the whinging pom sort of arena, don't I? A friend of mine, very good friend of mine, who works on the radio in Perth, he said when he started there, it was a nightmare. Everybody, because he had an English voice, he was the butt of all the jokes. So I'm going to have to weather that storm. But I'd start with sound. So I'd be going to venues and I'd be making films about the venues, etc. I've done one of those recently and they are tremendously successful. That's the sort of thing I'd be doing. And I'd probably launch my portrait business before the wedding business.
Okay, why?
For me, I would be able to find more people that could engage with the emotional context of one of my legacy films, which we haven't talked about, I know, but do you want me to play you a quick 1-minute slip of that? I know there's 10 quick questions. It's turning into 10 medium long questions, isn't it?
No, that's fine. But what's a legacy film? What is it?
Okay, so I had an idea that if we could bottle our grandparents, if we could bottle our parents, wouldn't that be fantastic to hear their voices? My mum and dad passed away far too young. My father in particular died when I was in my 20s. He was a massive influence on my life. Without a doubt, I would never have gone into radio without Dad. I would never have achieved half the things that I think I have in my life had he not been there saying, go on, son, you can do it. Because even in those periods, and that was in my radio days when I was making demo tapes, and my God, he used to listen to the worst stuff in the world. But, you know, as dads do, they'd say, son, that's great. You've got a real future in this. Had he not said stuff like that. But, you know, the shame is that we never recorded video. And you certainly would never have thought about recording sound. I mean, I've recorded my kids' first words in sound. And I've recorded them reading their books for the first time. Now, this is legacy stuff. This is stuff that will make so much difference in 30, 40 years' time. I have one recording of my father. And that was the day that he rang up on a radio show that I was presenting to wish me happy birthday. And it's 20 seconds long. It's all I have. So if I want to hear Dad, and I want Dad to be close to me in that respect, then that's all I have. And I think that's a great shame because he was an amazing storyteller. He was the life and soul of the party. He's the man that I want to be. Mm-hmm. But I can't hear him. I'm desperately sad about that. And I really am. So I thought a legacy film, and you've got to be careful at this point because you don't want legacy films to be that sort of thing where people say, well, you're only recording me because you're waiting for the day for me to croak. But I've got one here. Now, this is an interesting one. It's only a minute long. It's under a minute. It's about 40 seconds long. It's a grandson interviewing his grandfather. He wanted to ask his grandfather a load of questions. And the best thing for me to do is just play it to you because it's a little bit tricky to understand granddad here and there, but you get an idea. And he almost does 10 quick questions in much the same fashion that you do to your photographers. But this is the recording.
Go back in time and live one day again. Where would you go in your life?
I think the day I got married, I don't know.
And a parting message.
All the best, and thank you very much for your interest in me, both of you. Whether it comes of any interest to anybody else in time to come, I don't know. Anyway, thank you very much.
Love you, Grandpa.
I've never been interviewed like this before, so I don't know what the outcome will be.
Now, the most pertinent part of that is at 24 seconds when he says, I don't know whether this is going to be of any interest to anybody in the future. You bet it is. Because only 2 months after that film, he died unexpectedly, took a fall, passed away.
How long after?
2 months.
Okay. Wow.
So that film then became, that's a legacy film.
How were you involved with this? Did the client come to you and ask you to record the sound and shoot some photos?
Client wanted family photos of Granddad. And I said, yeah, I'd love to. No worries at all. I'm more than happy. But how about we take this direction? I suggested that he asked Granddad some questions and I would record it and we'd put together a little film of still photographs. And there's some moving images on there as well. You don't have to have the moving images. It could be just as good with the still photographs, just as powerful. Because I took pictures of everything in Granddad's house. I took pictures of the things that he just taped together that were falling apart. I took pictures of an open drawer seeing because it wouldn't close properly with the teaspoons. Took pictures of things that he'd fashioned when he was working as an engineer. He'd made these amazing little models. I took pictures of everything. I took pictures of Granddad. I took pictures of him walking. We went out for a little walk in the back garden. He looked at his flowers. And we ended up with this. My voice isn't on there at all. This is the voice of his grandson. And that's why that's important. And I've also made other films. We touched on it briefly where people are talking. Amelia's story is another. There's 30 seconds of this, but this shows you the power of somebody just talking about the day of somebody's birth.
Of lovely things and away.
Yeah, so we went for the curry. We came back. We were going to watch the Grand Prix, weren't we? And then I said, you know what, I think my waters have gone. It wasn't my waters, but I thought, oh, you know, I think I might be, something might be starting in the next few days. And so we went to the hospital, but luckily we took the hospital bags because we were just going to do it as a dummy run. And the minute I got to hospital, my contraction started, and she said, oh, you're 5 centimetres, you're not going anywhere.
Close your eyes.
So when you start to talk to a mother about her birthing experience, it all comes out, and so to speak, and that was her birthing experience. And later on in that film, he talks about, you know, the great thing about being a dad is I can do this and this and this and this. And then they read a bit of The Hungry Caterpillar, which is Amelia's first book. And yeah, wow. I mean, Amelia is a little bit older now. She's a few years on from that. But, you know, she's going to have her mum and dad talking about the day of her birth. And she's going to have her mum and dad reading her The Hungry Caterpillar, which is a gorgeous story. And she's going to have that for the whole of her life. And that's so powerful.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I'm sure the listener is doing the same thing as me, but my mind is spinning with ideas. You know, I could easily market, I know, to, let's say, middle-aged families saying, you know, hire me to go and photograph and document a day in the life of your parents and let me interview them and record that and produce something special. I mean, that's got to be worth a lot. That's got to be amazing.
You can put your own cost to it because you know your marketplace and you know what your clients will pay. Amelia's story, it's really interesting. That was just the H1. I didn't lapel mic them. I went round that day just to do some photographs of Amelia. I didn't go round there to make a photo film. It was just at the end they said, oh, you know, would you like a coffee? Yeah, I'd love a coffee. Oh, do you mind if I record? You know, we'll have a little chat about it. I mean, that's not the perfect audio. It's not the best audio. But, you know, I want to get away from this idea that everything has to be broadcast standard. Yes, it sounds better if it's good quality. Of course it does. But the power of just having the audio is better than not having the audio at all. There was another one. I won't play you that one because I think you've got the idea of Amelia's. But two lads that wanted to talk about their relationship. And we hung out in a coffee bar. We were in London. We were on the embankment by the River Thames. And we did some shots by the bridges there. And we went to some of their favourite places. And then we sat down for a coffee and I had a chat. We talked about, you know, their life and who they are. And it was great. We had the coffee sort of clinking in the background and it became a photo film. Never went to record a photo film. It just became one.
So does that become an upsell then?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, both of those are upsells.
So for an upsell like that, say Amelia, you know, you're sitting there, you've done the shoot, you're having a coffee and you start recording. When do they commit to spending the money on that product?
Well, they'd bought the pictures. I can't remember the money we were exchanging for the photographic shoot that day. I honestly don't remember. The upsell on the film would have been £500 at the time.
Well, not so much the amount. So do they commit then after, you know, on the day of the shoot, or do you go back and produce something and say, hey, this is what I've done, this is how much it is?
On those ones, I know we talked about the word cynical, where you don't want to feel like you're selling to people when you weren't expecting to buy something. But I think there are those clients. We all have them, don't we? Where at the end you think, do you know what? I really struck a chord with these people and I offered it to them and they said, I would love that. And the same with the lads. The grandpa one was slightly different because I kind of sold him into the idea before we recorded it, of course.
Okay, so with the lads and Amelia, you don't do the full edit, you don't produce the photo film and then show them and then give them a price. They agree before you even go into the editing suite.
No, the Amelia's one, I did. I went into the editing suite and I did it and I presented it to them and I said, look, you do not have to buy this. You really don't, but it's X if you want to.
Right, wow. It's pretty tough, but I mean, who's going to say no?
Yeah, it's not a lot different, is it, to sometimes producing the odd album for a client and saying, I've done this for you, I think you'll like it. If you don't, you don't. It's not a problem. I don't work that way. I don't want you to feel that I work that way usually, because that's not my most comfortable method of working. They were early portrait photo films. So at that point, I really didn't have a library of stuff. I really didn't have a library. So I had to upsell on those.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned that if you were to come to Australia and start over again, and you might do this in any country you were to move to, you would go with sound. And you mentioned going into, say, venues and recording. So would you be interviewing the venue owners?
This one's a bit chicken and egg, actually, because it's probably not the best example, because the one that I've recently done really was two clients talking about their wedding venue, whose wedding I'd shot. And so therefore, they were able to talk about the venue.
So that became an ad for the venue that the venue would love.
Yeah, that one is on my Vimeo channel, quite a long way deep in it, but I could probably find a link for that for you. That's been really successful at cementing myself into this particular venue and a couple of others that I've done as well.
Okay. So with that one, you would interview the guests. Would you, again, ask them leading questions about the venue and then cut your own voice out of it and just have them narrating the story?
Exactly. Now you're making them yourself.
I am in my head. Yeah, this is great. What venue would not love that? I mean, you could do it for any service provider.
Well, look, we've gone way over on time now, so you've got a massive editing job, haven't you? Two-parter. But since you're interested in it now, I'm going to play it to you. It's about 50 seconds long. But this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is their film with them talking about their venue.
Why do we choose Wasing?
Go for it.
So I remember us just arriving and driving up the sweeping drive with the cows walking around, and I thought, oh, this looks good. I hope it's not too expensive. And then we got to the top of the drive, and just the buildings were stunning, and the people that met us were so kind and warm. And for me, the moment that we walked around to where the summer house is, and they said, you can have your ceremony outside, and we looked around, and you could just see the countryside around, and you're just on the top of a hill, which feels like you're on top of the world.
Mm.
I just thought, yeah, this is the spot. Yeah. This is the one. Let's just hope we can get married outside.
Yeah.
Their perfect venue chosen, and the grand day arrives. But what will the weather do?
Instead of course, looking out the window, I decided to go online. And
so there we go. It's a bit unfair there. I did have a little bit of narration in there, but you didn't need to. I just chose to because I could. During that film, I went back. I did some drone shots because I'm a registered drone pilot in this country. I just drone shots up high. I did that long sweeping drive that they were talking about. I had wedding photographs from their day. I mean, that was a perfect selling tool for me. And if anybody ever writes to me about photographing it, or emails me rather about photographing this venue, that's the film I send back on a private page.
Yeah. Surely the venue's using that to advertise their venue too, aren't they?
Venue had it on the front page of their website for a long, long time, still on their blog, and they show it at every single open day that they have, at the front, at the end.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and on the little sign by the television they're watching it on. It's powerful. I've done that for 3 or 4 venues now.
Wow, that's awesome. What a great way to get known quickly and build up a rapport with the venue. And you could do this with makeup artists, hairstylists, anyone.
It never ends, does it? It never ends.
So good. Mate, let me ask you the last question I like to ask most guests. Have you ever had an embarrassing moment or a stuff-up that you're happy to share?
I'm trying to think of this is where I really wanted to research the 10 questions, wasn't it?
Have you got so many that you can't think of one, or you've got none?
I'm trying to think of one that's funny, because so many people have stuff-ups. It's actually not very – you look at it and think, oh, okay, thanks very much for sharing that. Funny, odd things that happen sometimes. I went to a very historical house just west of London, and they had some curtains that frankly should have been in an art gallery. They dated back 300 years, and there was a big sign on it that said, do not touch these curtains. I'm surprised they weren't alarmed. They'd been handled by king or a queen or something. And the first thing I did when I wandered up these stairs, in the days where I was doing a little bit more posing than I was, sort of everything had to be natural, as untouched as possible, I saw this dark corridor. I thought, oh, this is so bloody dark. And I ripped these curtains open, and everybody, including the wedding coordinator, just looked at me with this sort of horrified expression. And it was Anne Boleyn's curtains. That was it, Anne Boleyn's curtains. And I'd ripped these open, and I said, what? What's the big deal? We've got light. No, we got light. And I'd taken them off the first two curtain rails, and it was hanging down. Geez. Hundreds of years of English history in my hat. But we had better light.
And that was the last time you ever worked there, is that right?
I've worked there since. The wedding coordinator has since moved on, but she never let me get. She said, you're not going to touch anything today, are you? No, I'm not going to touch anything at all.
Let me put you on the spot here. Have you ever heard anything that you thought, wow, that can't stay in? Or yes. Really?
Yes, I can answer that straight away. Yeah. That's why you top and you tail.
Have you got something you're happy to share?
Yeah, I will share, because I've done hundreds of photo films now, and nobody would necessarily be able to identify themselves with this unless they are the best man that know they said this. They went into the toilet. What often happens when I mic people up about 5 minutes before the speeches, it's very important they don't wear these microphones all day long. That would frighten them to death, wouldn't it? So I mic everybody up 5 minutes to go to the speeches. The champagne's going out for the toasts, and that's my time to go and mic people up. Mic on the groom, fine. Mic on the dad, done. Mic on the best man, super. Go get my cameras ready. Everybody's mic'd up, good to go. It's rolling, because as soon as that mic goes on, it's rolling. And the best man decides to go off to the toilet. And while he's in the toilet, he discusses the previous night's activities with one of the bridesmaids, who happens to be married to somebody who's relatively important within the bridal party. And of course, I heard it. But they will never hear it.
You must be so tempting to share that with someone.
Never tempted. No. Do you know, in all my years of working in radio, I've heard loads and loads of stuff from reasonably well-known to extremely well-known people. And off the record, I know for some journalists, does not mean off the record, does it? But for me, it does. And I think you're in a position of trust. And I can tell you that story because there's no clue to anybody at all. And I've heard similar things like that, lots of things. Not always as bad as that.
That's the beauty.
But, yeah. Chopping floor, cutting.
Neil, this has been an absolute pleasure, mate. It really has. I'm so glad I hit you up for the second interview. It's been a real pleasure. And the stuff that you've shared, the knowledge that you've got, mate, it's wonderful to have someone like you on that is happy to share what you know. It's been a real pleasure, mate. Thank you.
Do you know, the most amazing thing is that you do this. I've heard guests say to you many times how important it is when you read your shout outs. I was listening to one of the car yesterday with a girl that said, it was a UK photographer. She said that, you know, she'd only been doing it 2-3 years. And she probably had a decade. I remember this, you know, she thought she had a decade of experience in the fact that she had only been listening to it for a month or two. So, you know, it's a hearty pat on the back to you. And I know that a lot of your guests say things like that, but that's, you know, genuine. Do you mind if I leave you with one bit of sound?
You can, but I want you to let the listener know where they can check out your work and see these videos to check out the examples.
Yeah. It's Neil James. I have a silly spelling, N-E-A-L-E, neiljames.com.
Okay. And do you teach this stuff?
I do one-on-ones. Yeah. So I doubt anybody from Australia or America will necessarily want to come over to do one. But for UK guys and girls, yeah, I'm one-on-ones. I'm based just west of London, about an hour west of London by car. I'm on what they call the crossroads of the UK, this sort of road that goes north to south, east to west. So I'm a reasonably good place in the UK for people to come to me.
Okay, great. And the best way to get in touch with you would be via your contact form on your website at neiljames.com.
Yeah, or just go neil@neiljames.com or info@neiljames.com. They'll both get to me, and the contact form will as well.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, easy. Yeah.
All right, thanks again, Neil. You're going to take us out with some audio.
Yeah, in true radio fashion, you never, ever leave with your voice. So I'm going to leave you with what I think is a masterclass in a father's speech. I am using this to great advantage now in all my meetings. One thing we didn't discuss today, which I'll just briefly say, is that when you meet with a couple, if you can play some audio that touches them in such a way, regardless of whether they buy a photo film or not, but if it touches them and they go away thinking, whew, yeah, wow, I can almost guarantee they will not go to their next meeting, because I'm big and ugly enough to know that I'm not the only one being visited. You know, often they're going to do see two or three photographers, aren't they? And I might be at the start, I might be at the end. But I want them to always remember the experience they had of just being engaged in a wedding when they came to see me, because I know the next guy or girl is not going to engage them in quite the same way. I would check with them first whether dad is walking her down the aisle, because the last thing I want to do is find out that dad sadly passed away or something. I'm not, you know, because this is not the piece of audio to play if he had. But this, linked with some pictures, is the way I'm currently ending my wedding meetings. So I thought this would be as good a way to end this chat with you, Andrew. So I'll play this. I think this is a masterclass in how to make a father of the bride speech.
A few days before EJ was born, our midwife, Sister Hickey, told me of the amazing thrill that I would feel at being a father. It would be a huge adrenaline rush. In fact, she told me that over the years, many new fathers have been caught speeding on the way home from the maternity ward. But the good news was it would subside over a few days. But I wasn't thrilled. I was totally and utterly elated. The moment you were born, a powerful wave of pure love coursed through my body and lifted me 10 feet off the ground. I felt total joy and complete unconditional love. And I want to say today that despite a few teenage moments, one of which ended with a door slam so hard that you cracked the wall and it needed plastering, and the driving lesson gate incident, despite those, the amazing elation I felt the day you were born has never faded.
There we go. I challenge anybody to leave a meeting without thinking that they've lived a wedding after that.
Fantastic. Thanks, Neil.
Pleasure. Pleasure, Andrew, really.
Alrighty, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Neil James. Neil, again, mate, you are the consummate professional, mate. I could listen to you all day long. And I just want to say a massive thanks again for coming on and sharing what you have twice now for two different episodes. Well, one Photo BizX episode and one Photography Experiment episode. And both times, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I've got to say, I am rapt that I asked you back for the Photo BizX interview, because what you're doing with the business side of things has really got me thinking. And I know that the listener is going to be inspired by what you've had to share today. For you, the listener, if you want to find out more from Neil, obviously go and check out his website and see what he's doing, or his Vimeo channel, and get a better idea about the photo films. Definitely start there. But if you've got follow-up questions for Neil, you know, if there's something that I didn't ask that you wish that I did, head over to photobizx.com/203. And in the show notes there, there's a comments area at the very bottom. I know Neil would be more than happy to come back and answer any questions you have there. But there's also links to anything and everything he mentioned. There's some examples of his work, and it's all there in that one spot, photobizx.com/203. Now, if you're a premium member, Neil is also a part of the premium members Facebook group, which you already know if you're an existing member, because Neil's pretty active in there. He said that he's more than happy to share anything you throw at him or ask him inside the group. So hit him up there if you're a premium member.
It's shout out time.
I've got one big shout out for today's episode, and that goes to my mate, Damien Blacklock in Portland, Oregon. He's a family and wedding photographer over there, does beautiful work. And Damien has been a long-time listener and premium member. He's just got around to leaving an iTunes review. One of the best I've ever seen, mate. A massive thanks. I'm not going to read this, Damien. I am blushing just looking over it. And there's no way I'm reading this on the podcast, but I just want to say a genuine, massive, heartfelt thank you for your kind words. I really do appreciate it. If you don't know, it is the iTunes reviews that help other listeners, other photographers, find the podcast in the iTunes store, which is where most people find new podcasts. And reviews like yours just blow me away, and I know help other photographers that stumble across the podcast go on and check it out. I will read you the title. He says, "This is the greatest, most inspiring, possibly life-changing podcast ever." If you're a photographer, that is. I mean, how can you get a better heading or title than that? I love how Damien also says, The premium membership offers a ton of extra resources, including possibly the most valuable of all, a private members-only Facebook group populated by all us premium members, plus a ton of the podcast guests as well. It's friendly, non-judgmental, and so helpful, which is exactly what I was saying earlier. If you're a free listener, that Facebook group alone makes the membership worthwhile. Alrighty, thanks again, Damien, mate. I really do appreciate it. I've left the full review inside the show notes for today's episode, but more importantly, it's sitting there inside the iTunes store, which, is a big help to me. So again, mate, thank you so much.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
That's it for this episode of the podcast. I have to get my bike packed up. I've got a room that looks like a bomb's gone off in it. So I've got to get myself sorted off to the airport and on a flight back to Sydney. And then an hour and a half drive up to the Central Coast, where I'm going to be happily reunited with Linda. I haven't seen her for over a week. So looking forward to seeing her and my younger son, Jordan. Matthew, at the moment, who you know, if you're a regular listener, is traveling through Europe, is currently in Venice. He just sent me a couple of photos from his room inside the youth hostel in Venice that he had to take a water taxi to. It just looks amazing. I'm so proud of the fact that he's traveling the world at such a young age and seeing so much of Europe, so many things that a lot of people never get to see in their whole life. And, you know, he's doing it at the ages of 18. It blows me away that he has the courage to do what he's doing and to do it alone. It's inspiring for me, and it makes me proud. All right, I'm getting sentimental. I'm going to go have an awesome week, and I'll chat to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.